or anything, please do. So the idea that I think in some ways when we're ministering, anyway, if you're in this instance, this is what the Holy Spirit's been showing me, that just because whether we're in ministry and we do it, on a regular basis, or whether we're ministering to someone because we're it's in a situation where we're at home and we need to, because someone who's ill and it's long term, often the comment because we're Christians, or the attitude that is there, is you shouldn't really need anything, and you just ask for God's grace and it's all okay, and we shouldn't be upset, and we shouldn't have any reactions to perhaps them not even receiving. Now, and I was going to give the example that today, that's exactly what happened. I was, in a public arena, a shopping mall or whatever, and I'm praying for people or asking them if they want to be prayed for. And I'm used to actually either seeing them healed, seeing them at the beginning of healing, seeing them really happy, sometimes crying, sometimes, the presence of God is so strong that they even if they don't know God, they experience that. And not that we want it to be, a reward basis. I'm not doing it for the reward, but to also consider that we are part of the equation of whenever we are giving, whether it is to a family member, whether it is to someone in the street, when we are giving, we're part of that equation, and our responses count to God. How we feel counts to God. And I think sometimes we get X'd out as like the invisible man. Well, you're just the one who's doing the ministry, you're the one who's well, you're the one who knows the truth about that you have this to give. Freely you've received, freely give. And it's as if there is no consideration for the person who's actually doing the giving. Now, this is not to say ever that we measure out our giving according to what people are going to give back. I'm not speaking about that at all. But what I am saying is that it's important when we are the ones doing it that we need to also attend to what's going on with us, so that it isn't just this one-way street. Give, 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 give. And the other side of it is, and this is the only way that we're going to get to a place that allows us to give without being exhausted, is really, really, again, always, I go back to this, but being led by the Holy Spirit and leaning on Him. And then when it doesn't turn out the way we're hoping or expecting, or have even perhaps prayed for, that we go to Him for comfort. And today, for instance, I was really hurt. I was annoyed. I was angry. I was sad, that, so wanting to give to these people healing, wanting to give to them His presence, wanting to give, and it was constantly rejected. And I mean, to the point where they were actually nasty about it. I don't believe that. That's okay for you. But I'm going to be healed by a surgeon. And, those kind of comments. And you're thinking, man, wow. Okay. You could just say no nicely, couldn't you? But again, not to get caught in that snag of, oh, poor me, they were mean to me, but to realize this is what Jesus was sharing with me, and I know it refers to the situation that you've been dealing with. Jesus said that if they, I thought it was reject. If they rejected me, they reject you. Do you know what it says in, at least in the New King James? It says, if they hated me, they will hate you. I thought, oh my gosh, that's about as strong as you can get. And when I was there and I was talking to him about it, thinking, Lord, okay, I know they said they'd reject you. I didn't even realize it was hate. I looked it up today when I came home and I saw what the scripture said, it's hate. And I was saying to him while I was still in town, well, Lord, you said they'd reject you. And I just got the strongest, it was almost like it just bubbled up from my heart. It's like, no, Jesse, they're not, it's not him they're rejecting. They are rejecting you. And not from the standpoint of you poor thing, but for us to really get, we're one with him. And that's what he was trying to say. If they've rejected or hated me, they're going to hate you. That there is no difference and there's no distinction, and it is a personal experience. And we, and I know Holy Spirit doesn't want us just, you know, falling apart and trying so hard to be, you know, the good guy and fixing everybody and making it all okay when we ourselves are fallen, are not able to continue on. And the, what I believe he wants to say right now, to both of us, let alone to anyone else who's, is whether they're ministering, you know, on a formal level, or whether they're caretaking, you know, someone they love, or ministering just here and there, it doesn't really matter. Whatever the situation is that, you know, we can say, I'm drained. I can't handle this and I need help, because he's the helper. And again, it goes back to him. He's been placed in us to do all those things that we try to do for ourselves. So we try to help ourselves. We try to comfort ourselves. We try to tell ourselves the truth. It's all his work. You know, his, the jobs that God, well, that he comes down to express through us, the things that he's been given, his functions that Holy Spirit exercises and excels at, we try to do for him. Because we, you know, we don't want to bother him. Oh my goodness, you know, like he could just sit back and relax. Heaven forbid we actually ask him to do something. And what I found today, and I think this is part of that thing that I was trying to link it up to what you're, what, you know, what you've been going through, is that when there is no thanks from the other party, it can be a really painful experience. And it's not that God says, don't continue. And it's not that God says, you know, don't keep stretching your hand out or anything like that. But, you know, when I look at the scriptures and how he handled rejection, not of himself, obviously, rejection of himself he cared not for. He asked the Father at the very end to forgive them for what they did because they knew not what they were doing. I'm not talking about that. But in terms of when we extend his kingdom and say, look, here it is. It's for you. You can have this. And they just flat out slap it away. And that leaves us in a a difficult position, because, you know, we are going to end up feeling, oh, did I not do it right? Oh, maybe I should be kinder. Did I not smile? Did I say it in the right way? Okay, I know they're physically hurting, so maybe they're just irritable. Whatever the situation is. In that, I think it's important if we can step and look at our own feelings. It's okay to have feelings. You know, it's not that we're supposed to be led by them, but it's okay to have them and acknowledge them. And then why else do we need comfort? Because our feelings are hurt. We need comfort when we don't understand. We need comfort when we're grieving. The feelings are, although they're not something to lead us anywhere, we don't want to be led by our feelings. We're going to be like as crazy as the world is. But they do matter to God. And I think it's important that we go, Holy Spirit, this is too hard. I'm hurting. And I don't know how to do this anymore. And I don't even want to do it. And be that straight with him. And then he'll come in with the comfort. And then he'll come in with solutions.
Yeah.
And that's how it needs to be.
Yeah. Yes. That's exactly what's going on in my life.
Mm.
Today, you know. I simply realized that I need care, you know. That I need care, and to be honest, I haven't got strength to really look for him during the last 2 or 3 days.
Mm.
I was trying to read something, even to pray, but it seemed like nothing was really coming, you know.
Mm.
I was so tired on many levels, you know.
Mm.
And as we were experiencing it in the past, you know, when I started to pray for her, when I showed her one video with prayer for her, I had in my computer, the things started immediately to demonstrate something quite opposite, you know.
Mm.
It's very strange. It's so strange, just to the point that I really started to think whether it's appropriate to pray for the person who isn't able to receive. The place of the scripture came to my mind about when Jesus was telling about the spirit that is going away, you know, and to the desert place, and
yes,
one day, oh, the home I left was really nice, and came back, and it tidied up, you know, it's clean, nice. Brings some worse spirits with him together, you know, back, yep. You know. I really, really started to look on our problems that way, you know. It's hard for me because I started to realize, Jesse, that probably the only logical answer for what is going on is that the door is closed from inside, you know.
Yes. What you mentioned is, you know, so vital, and we need to, because sometimes some healing teachings tend to focus on the person ministering, okay? And that can be, okay, you don't have to be even specifically healing. You can just be, you know, extending God's grace or His love or whatever. And if it isn't received, there's sometimes condemnation. I mean, the enemy loves to do that. He'll use that one. Now, the truth is...
Yes, you know...
You go ahead.
I heard a story last time about a man who was serving with healing in one church, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was getting healed, you know, one by one.
Yep.
They were standing in a queue and they were all being healed. And once there came an old lady who was very known in the church. She was very very important person in that community, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She was really cool old believer, you know.
Okay.
And when he and nothing happened, although all the time before many healings were taking place, you know, many visitations were taking place. And after service, she came to him, and she told him, you know, I knew that God will heal me when it will be His time, you know. You know, she
right.
was pretty convinced that it's God who decides that the exact moment of healing, you know. She wasn't able to receive it here and now, you know.
Yes.
And that was only case when manifestation didn't take place, you know.
Mm.
And that gave me much to think, you know.
Yes. Yes.
It gave me much to think, because it really just seemed the most appropriate looked for answer to our case, you know. I don't know any better.
Yes. Yes.
Any better.
Well, exactly. Well, the thing is, it's kind of the topic of what we started with, is just because we are going to pour out the gift of healing or the of ministry of any kind, whether it's, you know, His grace or His strength or His power that He places in us to share with the world, just because we do that doesn't mean it'll be received. I mean, he poured out his blood on the cross for every human being. They're not all receiving him.
Yeah.
So it's the same experience. Now, it's very hard to take. Go ahead.
Maybe just the answer why much more healing takes place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We cannot determine it. It is not a one. This is what God's giving me, and I think this is probably the name of this, what he wants to teach, what the Holy Spirit wants to teach. It's not a one-way street. You know, this is not a one-way street. We are not the only ones involved in this. And it's not a one-way street on the other end. They are not the only ones involved in this. We're both affected. Both people are affected. Both people are engaged. Both people are involved. Even if their involvement is that they resist it and say no. I prayed for this lady, and I'm used to people receiving healing fairly quickly. And I prayed for her, and granted, you know, I wasn't in the best of places because they'd had some other incidents before, and that, you know, they, you can sometimes hold back when, you know, when you've been affected by something else. So I'm not saying that's always the case, that something's going on with them. But I, you know, I'm praying for her, and she's just looking at me as if, you know, I'm from planet Xeron. And she's saying to me as I'm praying, and I can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I could feel him while I'm praying. And I said, oh, could you feel that? Because they often can. But, you know, 99% of the time they do, whether they're believers or not. And she said, what you're doing is weird. You know, I mean, she had agreed for me to pray. And then she said, what you're doing is weird. And just looked at me and I said, oh, so you're not feeling anything? No, I'm the same. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, sometimes, you know, it's instant. We see a lot of instant healings. But I said, sometimes it takes over a period of time, a few hours or a couple of days or whatever. And, you know, and she and her husband, off she went. But with this really kind of strange look at me, like, who are you? What are you? And why are you doing this to me? Even though she had agreed for me to pray. But she might have had a different idea of what prayer was going to be like. And so in that instance, and even my son was watching, he said, Mom, she rejected it. And I said, what do you mean? He said, she didn't want it. And I'm thinking, what? You know, because we have this understanding, and some teachings do seem to espouse this. And in fact, they don't just espouse it. They indicate it that this is the truth, that it's nothing to do with them. Who cares what they think? I have authority and I can do whatever I want. Well, if that's the case, then everyone would be saved. Because it wouldn't matter what they think or what they feel. I mean, God would just go, sorry, you're all in the net. Tough. Like it or not. It's not how it works. We're involved. We're individuals, each one. And if someone is not responding or not receiving, that has to be something that people, especially when we're learning that we can minister to others, that we, you know, yes, you can lay hands on the sick and they recover. Yes, you can cast out devils and all of that. But it has to be done with some kind of wisdom. Well, it has to be done with God's wisdom, doesn't it? Not just hither and dither, we just run off and do this. I mean, I'm not saying that doesn't work. And I've seen people who go and you know, I've done it myself. And you're seeing all these people getting healed, and it's quite exciting. But it doesn't always happen. It is not 100%. There is no one that I know of that has 100%. And we don't want to make it a percentage issue. You know, it's not about percentages. It's about caring for other people. And the thing is, it isn't even faith.
It isn't. I think that we, as a human, have some kind of potential.
Yes.
That is hidden in us, you know, hidden by God. And people who are not living with that, they are quite unaware of what they have inside, you know. And I look on the thing, on this matter, in the way that, you know, you, from one side, you have faith to pray for somebody. But from the second, from his side, he can have faith that nothing will happen, you know.
Mm. Well, do you know what? Do you know what? That isn't the issue. That's not the issue. The issue isn't whether they have faith or not. That really isn't the issue. But the issue is, will they receive what's being given? I never worry about the other person's faith.
That's not what I try to express.
Okay, sorry.
I have to suggest that they are being convinced that nothing will happen can be the obstacle.
Well, okay.
For example, you propose prayer to me, something might help in my body, and I'm pretty sure that you will do nothing, and nothing happens.
Okay, this is what I would say. It's more fine line. It's more fine line than that. Okay, it isn't a question of even what they think. Oh, this probably won't work, because I've prayed for people who thought it was a joke and they got healed. That's not the issue. The issue is, are they going to receive it or not? Receiving is, and this is what I believe Holy Spirit wants to teach right now, is a very deep level response to God. It's not faith. It's not even mental assent or even the thoughts in your head. It is a deep response in the person that we may not see. That, for instance, I had an older man, and he didn't say at the time that he thought it was a joke, but later on, after he wasn't healed on the spot. He had a little bit of a change, and that was it. 36 hours later, he was completely healed of all pain. Now, he went and looked me up, and he found me in the town that we live in, and came to me and said, basically, how did that happen? You know, he was like, wow, here's a fish jumping in my net. This is pretty cool. So, and I explained to him about Jesus and everything. And, but that, in between that time, he was mocking and making fun of faith healers and saying, this is a big joke and it doesn't really work, with his daughter, because he told me, his grown daughter. Now, here he was mocking God, making fun of the whole process, and he still got healed. I mean, that's a testimony of God's grace. But even beyond that, it's more than a testimony. It's not like it's more than a testimony of God's grace. God's grace is ultimate, isn't it?
Yes.
But what I'm saying is this, that it wasn't a question of his having faith at all, or him even believing it was possible. That's not where we're working at. We are working on a level of deep in the soul, where people in themselves, not something they will say to us, not something we will even necessarily know. I mean, they may say it, but they may not. But deep inside their very souls, they're either going to receive from him or not, and it's a choice. There's a deep choice inside. Regardless of what they say, they can mock you or laugh, and they're still going to receive, because inside the depths of their soul, they want it. But other people can tell you, yes, yes, I want to be healed. Yes, yes, I believe in, you know, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And they won't, and they actually don't get healed. And you're thinking, what am I doing wrong? And it isn't you're doing something wrong. In them, they cannot receive. It's something within the soul, and they cannot receive because they've chosen not to. Whether it's conscious or not conscious, I don't know that part yet. But I do know this: receiving is a very deep response to God, one way or the other. This is a profound understanding, because he's profound, and he's just revealing that. That rather than we beat ourselves up, and this is not doing the other side of it, where that, you know, in the church for decades or centuries, they've blamed the poor person who's sick as if they need more, you know, condemnation. This is not about that at all. It's nothing to do with that. But it is each soul, just like each soul has a choice to receive Jesus or not. That's a choice in between them and God himself. And it is absolutely deeper than any other human being can go in that person. Because it's a total direct response to God. Yes? Yes, I will. It's not even just, oh, because in the Greek, I believe, you know, to believe in Jesus isn't just saying yes. It's making your whole life based on him. That's what believing means. Most people think believing is saying, okay, yeah, I said the prayer and I must be good now. That's not what he's talking about. So when somebody's going to receive healing, somewhere inside their soul. Now, they can be a non-believer. They can be somebody who used to believe and is now, even though they're still, you know, one with God, whether they like it or not. But they can be, you know, I've turned my back on him. No, I don't care. I don't even believe this anymore. They could be anything. They could be an atheist. It doesn't really matter. The core is, and this is what he's sharing with me right now, the Holy Spirit. The core is, it's almost like I can see it in the spirit. There is a core in the soul, like, and this core in the soul, I can hear it, the words that he's telling me, a core response to God, one way or the other, whether that's regarding, you know, salvation in terms of receiving eternal life, or receiving healing, or receiving his grace, or whatever it is that we're going to receive. There is a core in each human being, in our souls, that will say yes or no. And we can fight with people till we're blue in the face. And we can have all kinds of cute little theories and teachings and everything else and try to put everybody in that formula or in those boxes and in those categories. And it will not work. Because I have had people, just the other night, I was praying for somebody who is a Christian, you know, in another country, who, you know, someone else called on their behalf, and they've got like multiple illnesses. And I could feel, I could sense as I'm praying for this person that they are not believing it's possible to receive it right now. They're in the one day someday, like that lady you said at that church. They're in that place. Okay, you prayed and I'm going to believe one day it's going to happen. No. It's already happened. Now we just want the delivery. That's the whole deal. So it's not his believing that is the problem in that instance. Although that's speaking what's going on inside that core of his soul, which is, I'm not going to really receive this right now because one day, someday. So a belief in that way can be, but the belief isn't the first thing that happens. It's not the thing that's causing the problem. What's causing the problem is in their soul, there is this response that says, no, I'm not going to receive that. For whatever reason, it can be, you know, so many reasons. But it is to do with the will. That core of the, he's just telling me this all now. So I've never known this till right now. The core of the soul is the will. That's actually what it is. It's the pure will of a human being. And that will either respond with receiving God and what he has to give, or it will not. And if we just think we're going to run around to everybody and, you know, pray for all, hundreds of people, and I'm not saying don't do it, so, because I don't want to discourage anyone from doing that. It's just I've gone through all these different stages myself of doing it like that. And to expect that every single one of them, and I know the people that go out there, even the ones that are out there, you know, very active, they do not get, everyone does not get healed. That you have to actually look, not because you're trying to change the gospel. No, the gospel says that Jesus healed everybody, and that's right, he did. Everybody that wanted to receive, because they were the ones there, weren't they? If they didn't want it from him, would they have gone up to him? Would they be sitting on those grassy knolls, listening to him teach, going, oh my gosh, I've never heard somebody like this, he's amazing. You know, this is what they were doing, and they were sitting there. They wanted to be healed. Now, granted, when we've got the dead widow's son, you know, no one asked him, but you still have a soul. I mean, you still have a will, even in your soul, even when you've passed on. And that still has a choice to come back or not. I know people say, no. It's, you know, Smith Wigglesworth brought his wife back, blah, 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 and she didn't want to come back. Well, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where Jesus brought somebody back who decided they wanted to go back and leave. Everyone he brought back stayed. Until it was their time to go, you know, years later, however long later. So that will, we need to get in touch with the will. It's not faith. It's the will itself, the very core of humanity. Because that's what determines where you go, doesn't it? Your will determine whether you spend eternity in before the face of the Father, or whether we spend eternity separated from God forever and ever and ever. Our will. Now that is a pretty precious thing that he's given us, but it's also, it has an incredible amount of power given that it has that choice. And it is that core of the person. And no one can make it go one way or the other. God can draw, your will. God can, he, and it says that he does. He says Jesus draws us to the Father, Father draws us to the Son. You know, there's a drawing on that will, but he cannot make you choose. And we, as people who are praying for people, whether it's in full-time ministry, whether it's a relative who's sick, whether it's in our workplace or anywhere else, cannot make people receive God's healing, regardless of how much we want them to. You're exactly right. It's absolutely impossible for us to force them to be saved or force them to be healed. You know, there were two women today. I mean, I was appalled, to be honest with you. Older women, you know, I mean, they're 70s and 80s, were some of the rudest people I've ever spoken to, which really shocked me because usually that generation's pretty polite. And I don't know what it was, whether it was, you look back on it and you think, did I approach them wrong? And I just went up and told them that, you know, we prayed for people and God healed them and all kinds of things. And I noticed the woman looked like she had something wrong with her shoulder. And the woman was already suspicious. There were two of them. And this one woman spoke for the older woman, who was the one who needed surgery for some kind of skin cancer. And she said, well, that's all right for you. And she said, God isn't going to heal her. She's going to be healed by a surgeon. I said, I guess the surprise was they were so almost aggressive about not wanting to receive any healing. And I'm not saying, you know, they have to and they're obligated or anything like that. But it was just with the attitude that came with it. And I said, well, I've seen people who have have not been healed by surgeons and actually God healed them. I'm sure that's fine for you, but she doesn't want that. You know, it was like quite abrupt. And I thought about it. And in terms of, you know, when we, that's why I so much am a proponent of spirit led. Because when I'm spirit led, and I just was kind of meandering around the shopping mall, you know, we were doing whatever we were doing and I noticed them. It wasn't like I felt prompted in particular one way or the other. And some people I didn't even feel that prompted and I'd gone up to and there was a lot of rejection, which normally will happen when you're not really listening to the Spirit. Because when I listen to the Spirit, it's not rejection at all. It's such a setup. These people have been waiting for him to come. It's like an appointment. And so that was the other side of it. But the lesson out of it, because what the enemy means for evil, who will try to prod you and say, oh, you should pray for this one, you should pray for, even though it's not even God speaking to you at all, it's him trying to guilt trip you. Even in that, the lesson that I've gotten from it is actually really, really helpful. And it's exactly what you've said the experience has been, that some, if they're not going to receive from in the core of their being, which is their will, or one aspect of the core of their being, then there's nothing you can actually do. You can pray. You know, the one thing we can do, we can pray for them to be softened. We can pray for the Holy Spirit to minister to them, to draw them, to comfort them, whatever that is that they need. But we cannot make them, and we cannot force it by, you know, praying it thousands of times or our different approach. If I go from this angle or from that angle, it's all going to change. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't, because it is. It's a personal decision, just like salvation is. You know, I was hammered on and off for years to get saved by, you know, mostly strangers. Actually, they're all strangers. I had no one in my family that was saved, so they were going to tell me. And I just said no. I always said no. And often the approach wasn't helpful that they had. But it wasn't, that's not, no one made me do it and receive. I actually, my heart opened, and I'll never forget the time, I'll never forget the day, I'll never forget how it happened, but my heart opened. And that was the Father drawing me, obviously, but I still made the choice. And it's the same with healing, you know, not to make this a new formula and a new doctrine. Oh, when they don't get healed, that's because they don't receive it. No, We will not say that about people. That's unfair. There's some people that are struggling. Some, there's something stubborn just has a hold of them. Sometimes it's something that isn't to do with the illness. It's something else that happened in their past. They have got abuse. They can't even let go. I've seen that happen so many times. They've got damaged souls, but they still want to receive. And once the soul is healed, Holy Spirit goes in. He does this amazing, I call it microsurgery. He told me today another name for him. Get this. Holy Surgeon. It just blew me away. I was praying for somebody, and he said to me, I'm the Holy Surgeon. And I thought, wow, I've never thought of you like that. But that's right. You're the Holy Surgeon. I mean, you know, I keep describing him that way. I keep saying, even in the area of comfort, even in the area of our souls, our feelings, you know, what we need in, as far as not on a physical level, he's a Holy Surgeon. He goes in, he, you know, rewires everything, gets all the pain out, you know, the sadness, whatever it is, the grief, puts us back together, and we don't even know we had surgery. There's no scar, there's no pain, and you don't need any, you know, you don't need any medication. It's just, how did you do that? Because he's a Holy Surgeon. But he does it physically as well. Because he will show me pictures of when I'm praying for people. He'll show me pictures of what he's actually doing on a spiritual level for their physical need. It's amazing. And that's what makes me so sad, is if people saw and understood who he was, not this thing called God that's out to get them or out to judge them or whatever else they think it is. Or maybe they've been abused by people who are, you know, in whatever church or religion or whatever. And so they reject that. They have no idea what they're rejecting. They don't even know. They really don't. But they still have a choice. Like before I came, just like before you came, before any of us came to Christ, we still didn't know. We didn't understand, did we? I mean, when I said yes, I had no idea what I was getting into. I did not know this was about total transformation.
Exactly what's going on, because as it's written, you cannot even see the kingdom if you're not born again first.
That's right.
So I'm pretty sure that we're not really knowing what we are choosing. I think we are really choosing escape from condemnation from hell. This is the first step one gets into.
Some people do.
But when you look, some people, but when you, God couldn't introduce you to the things you're experiencing now any other way.
That's right.
There has to be a gate one day, you know, you came to.
They're not understanding at all who they are rejecting. It's like a figment of their imagination, or it's Satan, you know, and all the confusion that he'll send. I mean, look at how confused Christians are about God. Imagine how unbelievers are, you know. So, and we remember, I remember before I knew Jesus, what I really thought God was like. You know, I mean, I knew there was someone there, but I really didn't have it. And I wanted to be with him. You know, even though I went in all the wrong places and I made all these mistakes and I rebelled and I was, you know, quite difficult to say the least. He didn't give up on me. And he doesn't give up on those other people either, but that doesn't mean we can make it happen for them. Yeah, at some point, it's got to be a choice. And even the people who will, like, say, you know, when you lead someone to Christ, there has to be a willingness on their part to actually be led. And in terms of healing, it's the same thing. But now, that's not to in any way contradict the fact that we learn as we do healing. We learn how to just really let go and let God do it. We learn how to trust Him and not think it's about us and our levels of faith as the person ministering. You get to learn that. It's not about you. And then you'll fall back sometimes. You start to think it's about you again, and then you get snagged, and you have to, or you'll question your methods and, you know, all of that. But it's all part of the process of actually just flowing freely with Holy Spirit.